Today we kick off Pride Month. Pride Month is a time of celebrating God's choice to love all people. It's a time to intentionally reaffirm our choice to live and love the same way. Now it's important as we think about Pride Month to remember what Pride Month is not. Pride Month is not a celebration of our own accomplishments or awesomeness. It's very important to revisit the differences between good pride and bad pride. You see, bad pride is the opposite of humility. Bad pride is seeing oneself better than others, of building oneself up. The Bible's pretty direct on that topic. It's not a good thing. But I believe there is a good pride for us to feel and share in. Good pride is the opposite of shame. The opposite of shame. It's recognizing worth and seeking to honor it and celebrating the value intrinsic to each and every person and each and every life. This morning we can be proud that God loves all people. That's not something we ever should be ashamed of. Good pride acknowledges God's constant work in each of our lives. Bad pride would have us believe that we've done something great by saying everybody's welcome here. Bad pride would have us believe our work is done and we can feel good about ourselves because we put a rainbow on something and we'll call it a day. Good pride recognizes that there is no finish line and it honors a journey that we will never complete. It's only a journey we can commit to continue on. One of the greatest justice workers I know once reflected on what it means to be an ally. He believed the word ally is not a title one can ever claim for oneself or that one can use to describe themselves. Not when you're in the majority. If anything, the word ally is a title of honor that only the minority, the oppressed, the marginalized can truly bestow on someone. Because to claim it for yourself is to use your own power and privilege selfishly to award yourself for what you've done. And that's the opposite of what it means to be an ally. He challenged each of us in that room that day to never claim that we're an ally, but simply to strive to be an ally for all people, in all ways, at all times. And so during these weeks of Pride Month, we turn our focus to what it means to strive to be an ally in this world. Now, many of you might know that I love the hymn, Draw the Circle Wide. It is one of my favorite hymns. Some of you might know it because I'm up there like jamming out behind the pulpit when we sing it. It could easily be my theme song. I actually have to keep a list of the dates we sing it because if I didn't, we'd sing it every other week. Because what I do is I'd look at the bulletin and go, we didn't sing it last week. We can do it again. And then it's just every other. One of the most powerful aspects of this song is that it calls us to a constant striving. Draw the circle wide is a single action. It implies the drawing is one and done. And so each and every verse and chorus of the song follows those words, draw the circle wide, with a continuing challenge. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Draw it wider still. That's a challenging request. It's a challenging request if you're a community of people that claims God loves all people, because that sounds pretty wide, doesn't it? How do we keep drawing it wider still? Drawing it wider still is a challenge for us to look at what it means to draw a circle that's wide enough to include those who are lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender. Wider still calls us to the challenge of drawing a circle that's wide enough to include those from differing economic status in a world where the divide between have and have not is widening into an abyss. Wider still is a challenge for us to look at drawing a circle that is wide enough to include those who were born in countries other than ours, whose documented status does not change their status as children of God. Wider still calls us to look beyond what we might consider surface diversities into the heart while still not ignoring that there are diversities on the surface of who we are that are still used to marginalize people. We must draw it wider still. We should be proud that God loves all people. And God's circle knows no end. And we must strive to consider what that means for our journey as we seek to live that way. As we talk about this idea of drawing that circle wider still, it's also an opportunity for us to consider the difference between being welcoming and being inclusive. There's a difference between these two words. You'll notice our bulletin actually has, it's actually a synopsis of our mission statement at the bottom. Now the top part with the color, that's the banner. And then at the bottom, you'll see it almost every week in our bulletin. Welcoming, inviting, nurturing, challenging, those kinds of words. That's the highlight of our mission statement crammed into a few action words. But you'll notice it says welcoming and inviting. We need both. There's a difference. Welcoming is when you say, we're glad you're here. And we want people to experience that. We should be welcoming. When we see folks, we should say that. We're glad you're here. Being inclusive is asking, who is not here? That's an important question. And I want you to hear Jesus describe it for us from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus said to the person that invited him to dinner, when you host a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or the rich neighbors. If you do, they'll invite you in return, and that will be your only reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled and lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you'll be repaid beyond this life. You see, when we welcome those that we're comfortable with, those who are like us, those who already showed up, when we do that, our reward is the status quo. Short term, it can be pleasant. Long term, it's unfulfilling. But when we invite inclusively by asking the question, who is not here? When we seek out those who haven't been invited to the table, or even worse, those who have been told they're not allowed to come to the table, we will find a new level of gratitude that simply cannot be found in those with privilege and security in their invitation. Now, I want to play with this a little bit, and I want you to think about this with me. When we invite those who aren't regularly invited, we find a new level of gratitude that changes us with the invitation, not just them. We are changed by those who are included. Hear Jesus continue in the Gospel of Luke. So Jesus continued, a certain man hosted a large dinner and invited many people. When it was time for the dinner to begin, he sent his servant to tell the invited guests, come, the dinner's ready. One by one, they all began to make excuses. The first one told him, I bought a farm and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I just bought 5 teams of oxen and I must go check on them. Please excuse me as well. Another said, I just got married. I can't come. When the servant returned, he reported all of these excuses to his master. The master of the house became angry and then said to his servant, go quickly into the city streets, the busy ones and the side streets, and bring the poor and the crippled and the blind, the lame and the sick. And the servant said, Master, your instructions have been followed and there's still room. So the master said, go back to the highways and back to the alleys and urge people to come so that my house will be filled. Jesus looked at the room and said, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will truly taste the gift of that dinner. This parable confused me for years on multiple levels. Why did his friends all bail on the invitation, and why did they wait until the food was on the table to do so? I'm not sure, but it happens. Why didn't the guy just cancel the party at that point in time? I mean, geez, take a hint. Maybe they don't want to come. But as I was preparing for this morning, it hit me. It's the difference between being welcoming and being inclusive. Because welcoming can be a joyful moment when you get to do it. But in the long run, the circle is not wide enough. His friends who bailed, they'd been invited before, and they were comfortable enough to know he would invite them again, so of course they could say no. They didn't truly appreciate the invitation. They weren't going to truly appreciate the meal, because it was always there. Anytime they wanted it, they could have whatever they liked, whenever they liked it. These were your I'm glad you're here folk, because they just came and went as they pleased. But when they weren't there, this host had to become inviting. Those who got called to fill the seats, those who had never been there before, these who don't assume the invitation will ever come again, they are deeply grateful, appreciative, and enjoy that meal in a way his regular friends never will. Their presence, those called from the alleys, it creates a new kind of gathering, one of deep meaning and deep appreciation that changes not just the meal, but it changes their host. They were the who's not here, folks. The host stumbles across something amazing in those final words. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will taste my dinner. I don't think the regulars ever did taste the dinner. Not the way those special people got to. Chances are the regular folks he invited never really tasted the food when they did show up and eat it. They had become completely desensitized to a meal that was always just there, something that was always just offered to them. The regularly invited guests and the host had forgotten how wonderful what they had really was. I don't think they ever really tasted the food anymore. They didn't taste it the way those who had been denied it so many times tasted it when they finally received the invitation. And that's how it is with God's love and God's welcome in a community. For those of us who have never been told no, who've never been asked to change who we are, who've never had a church tell us that our lifestyle is incompatible with Christian teaching, we risk losing a deep appreciation for God's welcome. We risk losing an appreciation for God's inclusive love simply because we're so comfortable it feels available. But when we draw the circle wide, when we draw it wider still, we will see God's love in new ways as it is celebrated and appreciated by those God loves just as much as us. I tell you, when we draw the circle wide, the appreciation and the gratitude and the meaning that is experienced by those to whom things have been denied will invite us to taste it again for ourselves for the very first time. Amen.